The reading today is taken from John chapter 20, reading from verse 1 to 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you that Jesus rose from the dead and lives forevermore. Thank you that he is with us now by his Spirit and helps us to see him more clearly. So we pray, Father, that you would help us to see and wonder at Jesus. Amen. Let me read the first couple of verses from our reading again. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, that's probably John, talking about himself, the one that Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." Well, have you ever been in one of those situations where you just can't understand what's happening? It's also confusing. Well, poor Mary, she went to the tomb expecting one thing and found something completely different. And not only was it confusing, it was really upsetting. She was really upset. Why? Because she thought somebody had taken Jesus' body away. Jesus had died. Remember? Back in chapter 19, the Romans made sure he was definitely dead. They didn't need to break his legs because he had died. They stuck a spear in his side to make sure. Jesus was definitely dead. And then Joseph of Arimathea, well, he then put the body in the tomb. It was nearby in a garden, and it was sealed with a big stone. So when Mary and the other Gospels tell us went to the tomb with other women to go and anoint Jesus' body, what did Mary expect? Well, she expected to find Jesus' body there, but it wasn't. The stone had been moved. And the question is, well, who moved it? Well, it wasn't the women because, well, partly it was too big and too heavy, but they were expecting it to be closed. It can't have been Jesus' disciples because, well, they were just as confused and they were hiding. It can't be the Jews because they wanted him dead, and it can't be the Romans because, well, they killed him. Who moved the stone? Well, Jesus wasn't there. And Mary comes to the conclusion that someone's taken away the body and she wants to know where Jesus is. Well, to find out what exactly is going on, John gives us some clues from within the empty tomb. So what we're going to do now, we're going to travel back in time. Honestly, we really are. We've got a special time machine going here. It's really exciting. It's going to take us back in time to Jerusalem, to Jesus' tomb. And we're going to see the clues that John gives us. Are you ready? Starting.
That time travel makes you feel a bit queasy. Oh, well, look, here we are. We're actually at Jesus' tomb all those years ago. Isn't that amazing? Wow, we're outside Jerusalem at the tomb where Jesus was buried. Remember, after he died on the Friday, he was put in a tomb. And a big stone was put in front of the door. But here it is, Jesus' real tomb. Now, often say that the tomb was empty because Jesus wasn't there, but John tells us that the tomb wasn't empty. Do you know what? There were actually things in it. Let me show you what John says was actually in the tomb. The first thing is in verse 6 and 7. There were some linen cloths. Here they are. Now, these were the cloths that were wrapped around Jesus when he died. And John tells us, let me read to you verses 6 and 7. Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. And so these cloths that Jesus had been wearing were in the tomb. Well, why were they there? John wants us to kind of take note of them. Well, it tells us two things. The first thing it tells us is that Jesus' body wasn't stolen. That these were left behind tells us that someone hadn't come and just taken his body. No, they'd been folded up and left. They weren't needed anymore. These are clothes for the dead. Jesus was living. But the second thing that this tells us is that Jesus had finished his work. Back in the Old Testament, in Leviticus, it tells us that when the high priest had gone into the most holy place of the temple to do the yearly sacrifice, when he finished his sacrifice, when he'd done his work, he would leave his white robe behind and come out. His job was finished. And John's almost saying, look, Jesus has finished. He's finished his work. He's died and he's risen. He's done all that he needs to do. So the linen cloths tell us that Jesus had done all that he had been required to do. That's the first thing that was in the tomb. The second thing John tells us in the tomb is slightly different. The second thing was the scriptures. Now, they weren't literally in the tomb, but look what John says. Look what John says in verses 8 and 9. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. See, that's, John tells us why the disciples were so confused. It's because they didn't understand yet. They didn't understand that the Bible, the scriptures, had told them that Jesus was going to rise from the dead. Therefore, the tomb was going to be empty. Jesus wasn't going to be there because the Bible said. Now, there's quite a number of places in the Old Testament that tells us Jesus was going to rise again. Let me give you one example. This is from Psalm 16. We read, after the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. So Jesus would rise again from the dead. The scriptures foretold that. The tomb was everything that they needed to know. You see, if they'd gone to the tomb and Jesus was there, well then, well, God's word wouldn't be true and Jesus couldn't be trusted. No, they had everything they needed to understand that the tomb had to be empty. It was all there written for them in the Bible. Jesus had come back to life. God had raised him from the dead. So firstly, in the tomb we see that that these linen cloths were there. Jesus had finished his work. The scriptures had been fulfilled. They said that Jesus would rise again. But there was something else in the tomb as well. A third thing we need to see. Hello. Let me read verses 11 and 12. Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body has been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her,
"Why are you crying, Mary?"
Which is a really good question, isn't it? It's a good question because Mary didn't need to cry. She didn't need to cry because, well, Jesus said he would rise again. Woman, why are you crying? The tomb was empty. Jesus was risen from the dead. There wasn't a reason to cry. It was a reason to rejoice and be happy. Jesus had accomplished what he had said he would do. Well, Mary turns round at this point and sees Jesus. I'm just going to ask my angel to go. Thank you very much. Well, Mary turns round and sees Jesus there, and she thinks that Jesus is a gardener. She still doesn't get it. She says to Jesus, "Where have they taken the body of my Lord?" And Jesus says these wonderful things. Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." You see, Mary needs to know that what Jesus has done is that he's finished the mission that God gave him and is returning to his Father. Now look, in John's Gospel, as we've been reading it, we'll see that Jesus again and again and again says that he's returning to his Father. Let me read to you from chapter 13, verse 1. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. And again in verse 3, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So Jesus is returning to the Father just as he said he would. What does that mean? Well, it means that Jesus has finished the task that the Father sent him to the world to do. Well, what does that mean? What difference does it make for us? Well, two things. The first thing it shows us is that Jesus is God's King. Jesus is God's King. Can we pause it there? Well, this tells us two important things. The first thing it tells us is that Jesus is King. Jesus is King. That's what the empty tomb tells us. Jesus beat death. He's Lord over all. He rules over everything. He's King. He's King even over life and death. Jesus is alive now and he's still Lord of life and death. He's the author of life, he's the giver of life, and he's the one who's overcome death for us. Jesus says, "I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though he dies." Only God's King can give you that life. And it's not just life in heaven, it is the life in all its fullness. Life now to be lived with Jesus as your King, the one who beat death, the Lord of life. And he's done all that is needed to give us this life. As we trust Jesus and his death and his resurrection, as we seek to live for Jesus as our King, this life is ours. It's given to us. He's the one who rescues us, and he's the one who rules us. But it also means he's the one who is judge of us. Acts 17 says that God has set a day when he will judge the world with justice, and the man he's appointed to do this is Jesus Christ. And the proof of this is his resurrection from the dead. Because Jesus rose again, he proves that there is life after death. Death is not the end. You don't die and then there's nothing. You die and then there's judgment, because Jesus rose from the dead. He's King. So will you meet him as your King now through faith and enjoy his life forever? Or will you meet him as King, as judge, when you die and you go to the judgment of God? The resurrection proves this. The empty tomb proves this. Jesus is God's King. But that's not all that the empty tomb proves for us. The second thing is that Jesus brings a baby. new life. The empty tomb brings us new life. Because Jesus died for our sin, because the sin was dealt with, God raised Jesus from the dead. If the cross didn't work, if Jesus hadn't died for our sin, then Jesus would have to stay dead. He would stay dead for his own sin, or because Jesus' death didn't count for our sin, but it did. And therefore God raised him and gives us new life. New life forever. New life that transforms everything. This new life is eternal. It's forever and ever. It never ends. It's the life God has promised to give us from the beginning. When he said he would make a people for himself, a people whom would be his people and they would be his God. And this people will enjoy this life in the presence of God forever. See, Jesus came out of the grave to give his people eternal life. This new life is ours. Peter wrote about this in his letter, 1 Peter 1 verse 3. He writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new life, new birth, through the resurrection of Christ Jesus from the dead." This new life is what we celebrate on Easter Sunday. Life in a dying world. We live in a time when people are afraid of death. They're fearful of what this virus might bring. Well, we have an empty tomb. An empty tomb that speaks of the new life. A life that means that even though we die in this world, we cannot die, because we've been given the resurrection life of Jesus. Jesus came out of the tomb in this resurrection life. His body that he was given to him forever. The body that Jesus walked out of the tomb in, he inhabits now in heaven with God. And therefore we can know for sure that the life that God gives us is going to be a resurrection life that will be forever and ever and ever. Our sins are forgiven. Death is no more. We need not fear, because Jesus Christ has overcome death. So in this world, will you fear death, or will you embrace this new life that God gives us? Jesus returning to the Father, and he will take his people with them. You remember, he promised his disciples in chapter 14 that he will come back and take them to be with him, that they may be where he is also. It's the great resurrection hope. Jesus has not abandoned his people. He's not left them. He's with them, and he will take them to be with him forever. New life that comes through his death and resurrection, new life for us to enjoy and to live forever. The tomb was empty because Jesus wasn't there. The tomb wasn't empty. these signs, these clues were there for us to see that Jesus lives and his life he gives to us when we trust him and live for him as King. Well, let me pray for us. Our Father God, we thank and praise you. We praise you that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. We praise you that he is King and Lord over life and death. Thank you that he beat death and he rules over all. Thank you that one day we won't have to face judgment. We won't have to face Jesus for what we've done because we're forgiven and made new. He's the one who rescues us and rules over us. Thank you that he gives us new life, new resurrection life now and for all eternity. Thank you that this life cannot be taken from us. Thank you that this life is the life that we were made to live in and through Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen.